Well, what I discovered is far more than what I could have dreamed of. A relationship. The large coils, L1, L2 here, their size determines let me back up. There are two ways to increase the power of this device. The gain factor, the amplification factor. One is to increase the size of L1 and L2. That would increase the ratio proportion between the voltage coils, the main coils, and the starter coils, serving as current coils. The other way is not to change the self-inductance of the starter coils. They're fixed because you're allowed two turns around the armature. So you're kind of screwed, right? No, you're not. Because what you do is you increase the quantity of starter coils. And that will also increase your power, provided you wire it so that your resistance is also duplicated alongside, because you remember what happens when you have multiples of a resistor in parallel? The total resistance starts to drop because now you're adding the reciprocal of each. That's what you do when to try to figure out, well, what is the total resistance? Well, when you add resistors in series, they add. But when you add them in parallel, you're adding the reciprocal of each to one another. And that drops the resistance, which is what we want to do. So this is how we get over the problem of, well, this is one of the regulating factors, the weaknesses. This is one of the weaknesses, the Achilles heel, so to speak, of the circuit concept, is the resistance along the segment linking the aerial / generator, combination generator, with the starter coils. When the energy initially comes into the system, right away, we're blocking it with our resistance of our wire. If we don't have the right wire gauge, so 10 milliohms, if the wire is 1 yard long, I figure that should be about a 15 gauge wire. But what if you can't get 15 gauge, you know? So you increase the quantity of starter coils. And each one has to have its own length of wire, the same length, let's say a yard long, leading to the junction point, the solder point, to the base of the aerial. So that each length now is adding resistance, but in parallel, to the other, and that actually drops the resistance. And then, on top of which, you get an extra coil, whose current, because all of these are current-oriented coils, whose current you get to add to the armature, and in turn, that of course affects the magnetic field of the armature and its influence over the squirrel cage rotor on the inside of that armature. So it's to our advantage to have as many starter coils as we want, as many as we can fit in. Now, I didn't pay for this microcap simulation. It's an evaluation version, and so they limit me to 75 nodes. You know, that's a node right there, that little red dot. But there are a lot of other nodes that you can't see. For instance, there's a little piece of wire in here, and there's a node on either side of it. And then each component is a node. So I'm limited to 75, and so I can't make the circuit any larger. I can't add any more starter coils than what I have, and I have 8 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 7, excuse me. I have 7 starter coils, which is an odd number. Normally you'd have even numbers, right? to run a motor. But this is a weird motor, so I have 7. So you don't build it this way. But this is the most amount of starter coils I could put in without the simulator giving me error messages, and then, of course, a bifiler main coil. So I didn't change the regulating resistor. It's still 4.6 kiloohms. What I did manage to do was bring down the voltage on the aerial to 1.7 volts right here at 1 megahertz. 1.7 volts. I had it at 5 volts. And I was able to bring it down to 1.7. So if I had more starter coils, I could bring it down even more. And I get a comparable, I get an amperage and voltage comparable to my target. I can't remember what it, but it's slightly different than this. I didn't take a screenshot of this particular setup because I kept changing the starter coils and everything. And I kept changing the resistance. Before, I had only one leg of resistance. I thought, well, you know, I don't want to have more, right? But I was wrong. It's good to have lots of the resistance, provided they're in parallel, not in series. So, you know, this isn't exactly the outcome, but it's very similar. It's like off by one unit, you know. So I'm still within my target, and yet I'm requiring to pull in less voltage from my aerial, which is good, right? That's what I want to do. I want to decrease. So if the motor is large enough, and the armature of that motor, the AC, you know, induction motor, there's no limit to how many starter coils I can put on that armature. I still stick to a bifilar winding on the main coil, but the starter coils to help induce the rotation of that, the squirrel cage of that AC induction motor, I can have as many as I can fit on to the armature. The more the better. And they're all wired, though, into the circuit. You know, unlike a normal induction motor, they're self-looped to themselves. Each one is looped to themselves, two turns, and then it's soldered to itself. But not here. In this scheme, that self-loop is opened up, and it's incorporated into the circuit, so I was able to reduce the back EMF on the starter coils and on the main coils. I'm running them at 15% voltage of whatever the coil associated with them is experiencing, and twice the RPM. That's the cycle, the hertz that I give it. You know, each of these back EMFs are voltage sources, AC sources, and the terminals are in reverse polarity, so as to fight the polarity of the associated coil alongside it. But I only fight it at 15%, which is about what you can expect from a regen situation on an EV. And, you know, when you turn a coil into a regenerative braking system to regenerate electricity, what can you expect? About 15% on a good day, you know, maximum. So that's the amount of back EMF I put, was 15%, and then I doubled the cycle time of what I'm assuming will be the rotation speed of this motor. So I'm assuming 150 hertz times 60 is 150 cycles per second times 60 seconds. Yeah, 9,000 RPM. So my back EMF, I'm figuring, is 18,000 RPM. But I had a limit how many starter coils I put in here, so I don't get to find out to what degree. And apparently it's unlimited. Can I reduce the input voltage on the aerial? And that's good news, because my target, actually, I wasn't able to reach it because of my my restriction of how many nodes I can have. My target for the input voltage coming from the aerial is 167 millivolts for a six foot long aerial. So I wasn't able to reach that. Instead, I only was able to reach 1.7 volts. Right, 1.7 volts. So, but, you know, with enough starter coils, I could reach any goal desirable. Because I'm limited, well, I'm not limited, but I chose to limit myself to 800 millihenries for each of the coils on the bifilar, the main winding of the motor. Because, you know, in real life, when you're building a motor for an EV, for you know, let's say it's a heavy EV like my car, a RAV4 EV from 2002, that's about 1.7 Henrys is, I think, I'm guessing, but I think that's my guess estimate as to what the self-induction of that size motor would be. Now, it's two motors, not one, so that would be half, 1.7, and that would be around 800 milliohms each, for each of the two motors. Here I have it as two coils on the same motor, regardless. So I'm kind of restricted in what I can do here, in as much as, well, what size motor would I find in a car of this type? Well, this is it. So the only other avenue of growth is to expand the number of starter coils, and I didn't know I had another way of expanding power on this thing, power gain. Now, a little aside here. Some people don't like the word over unity or free energy. Fine. If they're verboten, if they are censored, then we just go back to tried and true traditional orthodoxy nomenclature. We use the word amplification. But see, the difference is that orthodoxy does not consider amplification to be a methodology of gain. And yet we know it is in the audio system business, in the audiophile. You know, you want to boost your signal coming from your pickup mic on your guitar on stage. Let's say it's an acoustic guitar and you attach a pickup mic to the acoustic guitar. That signal is like minuscule. But see, normally the consideration is, oh, but yeah, you're going to be adding voltage to that with your amplifier. And so, of course, you're going to get amplification. It makes sense. A plus B equals C. 1 plus 2 equals 3. You know, the voltage on the pickup mic plus the voltage of the amplifier added to that pickup signal will result in the total voltage going to your output, your speakers, minus, you know, your losses. But this is a style of amplification in which 1 plus 2 does not equal 3, it might equal 7. And that may not seem much of a gain, but it's not according to standard orthodoxy. So we give it a different word because it's a different type of amplification, but it's still amplification. So, you know, it's a funny thing with words. You know, we're not allowed certain censored words because we're not allowed certain censored concepts. Yet, that's what happens. And this is a microcap simulation. Your microcap is no floozy. And yet, microcap produces this over unity gain, this over unity amplification. Now, it's not out of the box in the sense that it's surge oriented, you know, in which it keeps rising, you know, to infinite gain. It's a fixed over unity gain. But be that as it may, such a term or concept that goes with that term is verboten, and yet here is microcap producing that result. So it's not pseudoscience. Microcap is not microcap is not capable of pseudoscience. Now, granted, my aerial here, my sine wave aerial combination, is a block diagram object because everything else can be taken literally. Although you're not going to have a component called back EMF, that's simply a behavior of the coil alongside it. So this the circuit is here is a little more complicated than it than would be the actual build. You've got components here that you would not see in your circuit. They disappear because the back EMF would be included in the behavior of the coil alongside of it. But the aerial generator combination is a block diagram situation, in as much as, oh, I'm going to have to relabel this. Oh, see, because this was my old style understanding. Yeah, because now we're using high band pass filter, understanding now what the starter coil is. It's a high band pass filter. So actually, we don't need a generator. That's right. So this is just an aerial. Okay, let's change it right now. This is just an aerial because that's all we need. We don't need a sine wave generator. Right? See, but it is still a block diagram because, why? Because we're not testing it. Yeah, what I need to do is to have three of these. I need to have three aerials, and each of them in drastic difference to each other as to what cycle they put out. All the same voltage, but different. So one might be a megahertz, one might be a kilohertz, and one might be 1 hertz. And I should be able to pass only the megahertz. In other words, 1.7 volts. Right? Right. Yeah, the other two should not pass through. They should be blocked. So I'm going to have to give that a try. Okay, so that'll be my next experiment. But anyway, yeah, I should re. So I relabeled this. So I'm going to have three of them now. So one's going to be high, medium, and low. I'll give it a try. I'll give it to try different things. So I'm going to have to make a little more room here because there's not enough room here for. There's only room for two when I really need probably several, because that's what you're going to have. You're going to have mixed signals coming into your aerial, but you're only passing one of them, the one that's going to give you the greatest advantage, which is a megahertz. That's the best. All right, now I'm going to shut up and go back to work. It's good making these videos. It helps me think in a very discerning manner.